Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back with everyone again this morning for worship. It's, again, a privilege and an honor to be able to bring the Word of God. And today we're back with our study in the book of Judges. And it's a very important part of the book. And again, the book of Judges is America and Europe, people that were given everything by God, and instead of honoring Jesus Christ and what he did for a weak people, small in number, as far as the world is concerned, just like he did for Israel, they became conceited. They think their power comes from themselves, and given the whole world, they don't know how to handle it anymore. They're not mature enough to handle the responsibility of having so much power, so much of a blessing from God, to be able to spread the gospel, be a witness for the world. And God never expects his people to be perfect, but you need to be faithful. You need to teach that Christ is king, honor the king's law. You can't be lawless and teach people to do likewise. So that's why we're in the position we are, as far as former Christian nations behaving this way. And we have to remember, even in the United States, where we live, all of these things that are happening are not against God's plan. They're according to God's plan. He allows evil. He allows antichrists to come upon the scene to bring judgment upon the people. And also it shows the treachery amongst the people to follow an antichrist. So the title of today's sermon, as we get into Abimelech or Abimelech, this is the son of Gideon that led a coup to take over the nation, but it was illegitimate. And the title of today's sermon is Antichrists Betray Their Own. And this is a lesson for those who are weak in their faith and think of jumping to the other side, to the fake church, the quote liberal church, progressive church, whatever you want to call it. It's an antichrist church that wants to side with the government to team up against the true church, faithful Christians who want to stand by God's word. So you never want to ally yourself with an antichrist. And many people, they spend a lot of their time, too much time, trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, instead of paying attention to the plain lessons Christ gave us concerning antichrists in general, how they're against God, they're against his law, they are children of the devil, of the fallen one, and we're going to see why they can never be trusted. And those who make a covenant with an antichrist make a covenant with death. Because as much as you might be finding favor with an antichrist in your life, whether it's in business, in your personal life, in your church life, the way they treat other people, they will eventually treat you. So that's why we are told to flee from evil, to not be in league with evil people, evil leadership, because even if you're in good relations with the wolf as he eats the other sheep, eventually you'll be the next sheep eaten. And that's why we never, even for safety, for an advantage in life, we do not team up with antichrists. But this is exactly what some men in Israel did in this part of the book of Judges. Is they actually teamed up with Abimelech, who became leader in Israel. But the reason why he was never known as Israel's first king, or even acknowledged as a true judge, is because he took a position that was not his own. And he stood against God and against his law. And he tried to make himself God's anointed when he wasn't. And this is why Abimelech was a type of antichrist. And we're going to explain more of that today. So when you read the Bible, You should be reading the Bible on your own and participating in Bible studies, reading it in your home. And then when it comes to a sermon, the main thing for the pastor to do is always relay the gospel and Christ's mercy. That's first in every message. But also to bring some things out that you might not have seen in your Bible study, to make things where they can be applied. Application is everything when it comes to God's people and their understanding of the word. So that's what we'll humbly attempt to do again today. So let us pray. Almighty God, the great and living God, the God who shows us mercy, we ask, Lord, that you would bless us today in our time of worship as we praise you. We pray that this time of worship would only glorify you and your Son and the Holy Ghost and no one else. I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse my mouth, my message, that I would speak words that would edify the people and glorify you. We pray, Lord, for our congregation, that you would strengthen us. We also pray for our friends in the ministry at this time. And we pray, Lord, that above all, your will would be done and that you would give us hearts, Lord, that accept your will and give us the wisdom, Lord, to maneuver during these evil times in this wicked generation. And we pray, Lord, as we have before, that you would be that cleft in the rock for us, that shelter. So we ask this, Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So today we'll be continuing in the book of Judges. We're in chapter 9, and we come across one of the many Antichrist characters in the book. And even though it's in the Old Testament, it gives a great picture of Antichrist. It gives a great picture of rebellious leadership. It gives a picture of Satan himself. And you'll see these character traits of Antichrist throughout history, whether it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, Reformation times today. The Antichrist, just like Satan himself, is self-centered, only motivated for their own gain. And where the Lord Jesus Christ is anointed by the Father, and where he will lay down his life for his sheep, and Jesus will give his life for us as a leader, the Antichrist is the complete opposite. You are something to be used. You are a stepping stone. And when your usefulness is gone, you'll be discarded. And this is why through the years in this ministry, being centered in Brooklyn, New York, the evil empire, a lot of Christians here too, but the evil empire, the empire state, the place where bankers and the occult and Hollywood and these movie producers and the mafiosa and every bad group you could think of moves and roams freely in this city. And we warn people who get caught up, whether it's the music industry, the movie industry, modeling, finances, whatever it is, the occult, these secret societies, we always warn them that you are disposable. So as much as you think you're being protected by rolling with these antichrists and teaming up with them, when the time comes, when your usefulness is over in their eyes, you will be discarded like trash. So you might be living the high life for a short time. You think you've made the right political connections, but even as we're seeing today in America, in New York City, that no matter how much work you put in, how much you do for these people, they will not sacrifice themselves. These leaders of darkness are not like the Lord Jesus. They're not like followers of Jesus. They are not going to lay down their lives for you. They will step on you. And when it's time to cut you loose to cover themselves, they will sacrifice you to save their lives. And this is exactly what we see happening. So many people have sold out as we see in the medical industry, in business, finance, in the church. It's a downtime for our generation. And what these people are finding out is that as much as you think you're part of the plan, you're not. And those at the top of the pyramid, as we say, when it's time to discard you, they will. And that's why we read stories like Abimelech, and we should learn from them. So let's read the book of Judges together, and let's glean some important points so we could know as Christians how to maneuver in our lives and how to apply the Word of God. So as you know, we already went through the great victory with Gideon and the way he delivered the people. And last time we spoke about the evils of polygamy, the great mistake Gideon made, even though he had the right character to deny becoming king of Israel, and he knew that God and his law should lead, not a man. He did have a weakness when it came to taking many wives. And as we spoke about, the reason why polygamy, especially anything more than two wives, is a recipe for disaster, is you set up rival family lines. And any man is barely equipped to be able to provide for one wife and one set of children, let alone more than that. And even though God works with sinners, he knows our weaknesses. He doesn't condone the sin, but he works with us. We have to understand that our sins lead to real problems. And polygamy is one of those. And we spoke about how we have a very polygamous culture today. People have multiple marriages, multiple children, children everywhere. So even though we do polygamy by divorce and remarriage, it's still polygamy. People are still leaving the wife of their youth, the husband of their youth, and forming other relationships. And you cause rivalries that way. So many of us have gotten caught up in that situation. That's fine. We don't teach our children to follow. And we need to speak against it. But we see that Gideon was a great deliverer. He did many good things for Israel as he was anointed and led by God. But we're going to see that legacy of polygamy and the rivalry that goes on between people with the same father but different mothers, or the same mother, different fathers. It's real, and it causes real friction and trouble. And just like King David or Solomon, it leads to destruction of the family down the road. So let's read the beginning of this narrative, because we're going to see last week, we read about how Abimelech, one of the sons of Gideon, slaughtered all his half-brothers, about 70 of them. And there was only one left, and that's Jotham, who is the youngest. And Jotham is going to speak, and he's going to confront these men that supported Abimelech and these murders. So Abimelech leads a coup, and a coup is taking a position of power by force, by rebellion, by treachery. Not through the will of God or the will of the people necessarily. And that's why Abimelech is an antichrist. An antichrist tries to take the position of Christ or being anointed, but they're not. Just like Satan tried to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we call the Pope an antichrist. We have the Archbishop of Canterbury, the one who leads the Anglican Church. He's an antichrist. And then your regular run-of-the-mill pastor who's teaching people debauchery but wants to lead a church and a flock, he's also an antichrist. So don't always get focused on the antichrist. Just identify the antichrist character, and you'll be able to warn people and help save their souls through the gospel. So let's read this narrative. Let's see how nasty this has gotten. So this is Jotham. This is chapter 9, starting in verse 7. We'll read verse 7 through 16, and we'll make our first point in the scriptures, 7 through 15. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice, and cried, and said unto them, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, Reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. This is a very significant parable. It's actually prophetic. So Jotham, the lone survivor of Abimelech's murderous coup, delivers a heart-wrenching prophecy to the men of Shechem. The youngest of Gideon's sons boldly speaks about the nature of an antichrist. He accurately describes his brother Abimelech as a thorn bush, abrasive and useless to those it encounters. So we see this parable, and Jotham is saying, you need a powerful tree, something strong to lead these cedars of Lebanon. And cedars of Lebanon were legendary. They were used in the construction of the temple. They no longer exist, but they were monstrous, strong trees. So to lead something like that, you needed something of true character, something that could lead. And we see in this parable, we have these other beautiful trees, but they're not fit to lead. And Jotham was making a statement about Abimelech that you can't choose a role that God hasn't chosen you for. So we see that the olive tree is asked to lead, but the olive tree isn't massive and strong like a cedar of Lebanon. It has its own glory, its own thing that God made it for. And olive trees were the most important trees in antiquity, even though they weren't the largest, because of their oil. And that's why the olive tree says, why would I give up my position? I supply, and my fatness, meaning the oil, the richness of the oil, which olive oil before electricity lit the world. And also it's still a beautiful and very nourishing food, one of the healthiest things you can eat, extra virgin olive oil. So it wasn't going to leave its position that made it blessed, that God gave it, to take on a position it couldn't handle. And then the offer is made to, as we see, the fig tree. Again, fig trees are legendary, beautiful, healthy fruit. People love them. But if you take the fig tree out of its position, if it loses its position of providing this delicious fruit, it can't make itself into something it's not. And same thing with the vine that's used not only for grape juice, but for wine. Finally, we come to the bramble, or as we would say in regular English, the thorn bush. Now, many of you might not be familiar with the thorn bush, the bramble described in the Bible, but it's very similar to modern thorn bushes. Whether you go back to the bramble in Genesis or the thorn bush today, many thorn bushes, they don't have to be cultivated. They're invasive, and they get their hands into everything. And again, a thorn bush is not equipped to lead, but because of its nature, because it's rebellious and abrasive, and it's going to grow where it wants, it'll be out of position, and it'll actually hurt other trees because of its nature. And this is eventually what Abimelech is really compared to, a thorn bush that's not equipped to lead, but will only injure and hurt everything around it. So Jotham, in this heart-wrenching prophecy, I mean, all of his brothers, roughly 70 of his brothers were killed, all his older brothers. Only his rebellious brother Abimelech is left alive for this coup to try and lead the kingdom. And Abimelech's relation through his mother was to the men of Shechem, the Shechemites, and they wanted to lead and have a dynasty through their people, So Jotham is left by himself, and he actually disappears from the narrative after this. So it's very heartbreaking. And again, this is the nature of an antichrist. They try and take a position that's not theirs. Satan wanted God's position, which of course wasn't given to him, but he attempted to take it. Now, one thing about antichrists in life, whether it's your boss at work or another family member, they're always looking to use people and to fulfill a position that they haven't earned, that they don't have the character to stand in. And we have to watch out for this as Christians. This is why when the Psalms begin, it talks about the separation between the godly and the wicked, the righteous and the wicked. We are not to sit with these people, walk with them, do anything with them, because it always leads to destruction. Now, in this world, sometimes we can't help but be around these people, and we should give witness to them. But don't make business deals with these people. Don't get intimately involved with them in the church. It will always lead to destruction. They're very flattering. They'll offer you a position that might seem to give you an advantage, but it'll always backfire. So that's not what we want to do. So Abimelech is an antichrist. Remember that. And you see that, as I mentioned in my introduction, he is not remembered as a judge, and he's not remembered as Israel's first king. He's taken a position that doesn't belong to him, that he's not fit to hold that office. And this is one of the hallmarks of an antichrist. They are not anointed. They're actually against God's anointed. So be very careful getting in league with these people. When they're done using everyone around them and they're done using you, your usefulness will be over, and they'll destroy you. And too many people, even Christians, get burned this way. They don't realize that when you have an antichrist that's treating people horribly around you, it will eventually be your turn. It might be years later, but it will be your turn. That's the way the world functions. That's the way the devil functions. The devil did not come to die to bring us life. He came to bring death. He knows that he's going to the pit. He's going to burn in the lake of fire. And his only satisfaction is bringing as many as he can, made in God's image, into that lake of fire with him. So this is the nature of Antichrist. And then the narrative continues. Jotham continues. He says, "Now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely, and that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house," remember that's the new name that was given for Gideon, "and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you, and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech the son of his maidservant king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal in his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech." And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Be'er and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. So Jotham, the baby amongst the boys, the youngest, God uses him as many times out of order, out of natural order, God will use the youngest to correct the oldest in the Bible. So we see, this is point number two, Jotham further condemns the men by appealing to reason and God's law. If the men acted towards Gideon's family in the way they deserved, then their coup may be blessed. Since they slaughtered the family of a man who delivered Israel from destruction, appointing Abimelech king will be their downfall. So we know from the story, as Jotham is giving them plain reason and God's law, if Gideon's family was evil, if Gideon was evil, if they had a legacy of victimizing God's people, then it might be justified bringing Abimelech into the picture for new leadership. But they didn't do that. And Gideon actually refused kingship. And we don't have a record of any of his other sons being particularly abusive. So they didn't deserve to be slaughtered like that. So Jotham calls out Abimelech, his brother, as an antichrist. And he also calls out these men for supporting an antichrist, someone who takes authority that God has not given them. So this is a serious situation for Israel. And we're going to see that it only gets worse. So you being in league with a wicked leader, with an antichrist leader, you will bring judgment upon yourself. And Jotham accurately predicted that because they did wickedness and they followed an antichrist, that the antichrist would eventually devour them also. So we know this. Jesus tells the parable of the wolf and the sheep. Following an antichrist is like you being a sheep and trusting the wolf. And that's what people do. So that's why we have to call out antichrists, those who claim to represent Jesus, but deny him and his power by claiming they are the real authority. Very serious situation we have today. And it's not like this is not the 1500s anymore, where we just have one main antichrist to worry about, the Pope of Rome. There are many antichrists, many more inside the Protestant church right now, in Baptist churches. We see this. So we need to be on guard. If people deny that Jesus Christ is king, and if they say that because Jesus came and rescued us, we no longer have to learn his laws and his commands, and that we could teach our children whatever we want, then that's an antichrist. So we have to teach about Jesus Christ and his commands. So Jesus Christ summarized the Ten Commandments. So when you have a pastor that's teaching unrighteousness, when he teaches against sanctification, he is an antichrist. He's teaching against God's word. We would never say we're saved by works or by observing God's law. But when we are to teach people right and wrong, when we are to teach them the way God wants us to lead a sanctified life, we don't throw Christ's commands out the window. We are to teach people that what God calls sin is sin, and what he calls holy is holy. We don't switch it up. We don't reverse it. So you don't become a Christian, and then you can teach people that adultery is okay, or that stealing is okay, or any of these other sins that we find in God's word. So spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. And for us, don't worry about identifying right away, like I said, arguing over who the particular Antichrist is. Just be focused on identifying the characteristics of the so many Antichrists around you. Like I said, in business, in medicine, in religion, and avoid these people at all costs and never be in league with them. And Jesus, speaking through John, gives us a great lesson. And we're going to find out that serving Antichrist is always bad. Now, in 1 John, if you turn to 1 John with me, that'll be our New Testament text for today. And we'll be reading verses 18 through 28. Now, we have to remember with the Apostle John, he was called one of the sons of thunder. He was a very aggressive young man, but we see how the Spirit changed him over time. In his elder years, he still has that tenacity and love for Jesus, but he has a more loving spirit, and he wants to instruct his people, those who he's in charge of, to not fall for these antichrists that were already in the church in the first century. This is not something way in the future. So don't focus on the antichrist in 2021 or 2081 or whatever. You have to be on guard right away to identify these people. They are they have sociopathic tendencies. They're all about themselves. They're all about power and position. They'll flatter you. They'll say wonderful things to you, make you feel all warm and fuzzy. And as long as you do what they say, that's fine. Disobey them once, or disagree with them once, and you'll find out what they're about. This is also criminal nature too. So be very careful. So John warned us. Listen to John's warning. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 18. He's telling us, like little children, the way you warn your children to, watch out for strangers or how to identify dangerous people. This is John. It says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, so I'm not lying to you, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Christianity is completely exclusive. There's one Messiah, there's one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other religion, religious movement that denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he is the Son of God, and died for our sins, that's the spirit of Antichrist. So when it comes to Judaism, Islam, our Unitarian neighbors, our Mormon neighbors, any of these groups, Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not have the truth because they don't have the right Son, the right Jesus Christ. That's why you can say God, even today. You can speak about God as an impersonal force or spirit, or you can use the name God. No one gets offended. You can say Buddha, you could say Muhammad, whatever. People will bend over backwards not to offend you. Say the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's another story. The persecution comes because they know it. And even the wicked, because of the spirit that is in them, that name offends them, that name above all names, as we say, as the scriptures say, and as Christians, we testify to. So if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And an antichrist spirit will never glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So they'll say nice things. They'll say that Christ is king. And then like the Archbishop of Canterbury, they'll defend same-sex relations. Or like our evangelical Lutheran church neighbors with their perversion now, and many of the denominations. So like Jesus said, in quoting Isaiah, you know, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You cannot declare righteousness wicked and then say that wicked things are righteous and claim to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So very dangerous is the Antichrist, the Antichrist in the world, the Antichrist spirit, because it is against God. And if you value your life and your soul, you will avoid these people at all costs and never follow them when it comes to their path of destruction. So serving an Antichrist may be advantageous in the beginning, but always leads to destruction. An Antichrist will not sacrifice himself for you. Rather, you will be sacrificed for his gain. And anyone paying attention in America right now is a Christian. We see this in the political world. We see this in the entertainment industry. Now that these people are going for the kill, as they say, in trying to control this nation and to destroy any vestiges of the Christian faith, anything that is reasonable and good and just according to God, we see as they are starting to fight and devour and eat one another. So whoever is expendable, as we say, will be thrown under the bus. And you hate to see this happen to people, but it's going to continue. If you serve Antichrist, then you're on the chopping block. So as the old saying goes, right? If a lamb thinks he can, you know, hang out with a wolf and be safe, the lamb will eventually be dinner. And that's what's happening, unfortunately, to many ignorant people. So you might be scoring points. You might be speaking badly about the true church or about the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be making up things that the Bible says that, you know, lesbianism, bisexuality, transgenderism, that that's all in love and that the Bible permits it. You might be saying that, you know, yes, Jesus is the way for you, but there are other ways to heaven for other people. That's an Antichrist spirit. You're going to destroy yourself. So repent right now. And whatever points you're scoring at work or at your church that might be falling apart and you're trying to remain a part of that, don't do it. Don't do it. Before you sacrifice your soul and follow an Antichrist spirit, leave your job, leave your church, do whatever you have to do, because you'll wind up in the lake of fire with Antichrist. Just speaking purely in the way things work, God wants to lead his people out of destruction. That's his mission. Out of his love, God became a man and laid down his life for us. So God is about life and redeeming and saving others. The Antichrist, Satan, the deceiver, is one that is about bringing as many as he can into destruction with him. So the devil was made for the lake of fire, and if you follow him, you'll wind up in the lake of fire. And we see that many people get a lot of wonderful things up front by making these deals with the devil or with his servants. You'll have money, you'll have fame, you'll have notoriety, you will. Crime does pay. I never lie to my children. Crime does pay, otherwise it wouldn't be tempting, but it's very short-lived. Crime and this Antichrist spirit and taking a position that's not yours, it only lasts for a short time. Doing it God's way, you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. It's something that's long-lasting, and that's why we don't turn to this type of leadership or this type of illegitimate gain because it doesn't last long. So if you look at people, whether it's through whatever, dealing drugs or making political deals or just being vicious to other people, yes, they can climb to the top of the corporate ladder or whatever, whatever else they're doing, but it doesn't last. So let's learn that lesson for today. Let's take that as an application. And we're going to continue. We're going to study this character of Abimelech, which again is the prototype of the Antichrist. And we're given this as a warning. Never trust these people. Never think that they have your best intentions at heart. And flee. Flee wickedness. Like the Lord Jesus Christ says, there are many antichrists out there today, and we don't want to get wrapped up in this. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can worship the Father today, and that we could praise your name, and that the Holy Spirit can be stirred within us. We pray, Lord, that the rest of our worship service glorifies you and you only. We pray, Lord, that you continue to guide us and to hide us in you during these wicked times. We pray, Lord, for your Christian people, that they will be able to be strengthened, that their faith would stand the trials of the world, the flesh, and the devil right now. All of us, Lord, are going through a tough time, Lord. But we know that through your Spirit, we can make it. And we pray, Father, that you would be with us and keep us strong, that we would never back down and we would never compromise. And to save our souls or our jobs or our reputation in the world, that you would keep us, Lord, from running to these antichrist types that seem to be on the winning team. We pray, Lord, you would always keep us from selling out. And, again, Lord, we thank you. It's an honor and a privilege. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless the rest of our service. And we ask this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.